The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. Welcome back to the solo of the month, the full episode where you're stuck with me. I am excited about this week's solo and I'm a little conflicted because I just didn't know which topic to choose because we have a lot and there were three that were voted on the most, which were compromising in marriage, navigating breakups in your 30s, and how to grow from big fights in a relationship. Three really good topics. And how can I choose one? How can I choose one? I don't know. I can't, which is why we're doing all of them. And it wouldn't be a solo if I didn't start by just venting about my shit, because sometimes I think of this podcast as my therapy. I will say right now, it is 5:50 on a Tuesday. And I have about 30 minutes before I'm meeting my friends at dinner, which is a really amazing thing that, you know, that's a choice, but it is still a plan that I have to make. And I have to make the decision of, do I play with my son before this dinner? Do I record my episode for this week? Do I work on this networking event that we're doing May 2nd? Do I do my laundry? Do I organize the pantry? There's so much to do all the fucking time. Like, it is insane. And right now we're still with our baby nurse. So we have like someone here and there's still so much to do. And I feel like if you're a mom listening to this content, like, you get it. It's just endless. And I feel like if I'm not home, like, nothing really goes the way that it should. And I want to not feel this way. Trust me, I want to not feel this way. And I think things will be different when we have, you know, a routine more in place. But I just feel like every day I have to choose something that wins. And this is the same if whether you have children or not, you're still choosing like really work or your significant other, or if you're single, like going out on dates, prioritizing dating that day, or prioritizing your work, or prioritizing your family, or prioritizing yourself, right? And your mental health and your self-care. But not, there's never a day where all of those things are going to win. There just isn't. And I will say there was a huge highlight to my day, which is that I got Botox for the first time in a year and a half, because I'm not technically done breastfeeding, but I am done using my milk. I'm still in the weaning process, but I can now get Botox because I'm not, you know, passing anything along because I'm not feeding him my milk that I'm making currently. I'm feeding him like my frozen milk thawed out and whatever. So Botox was a plus for sure. That definitely was something that I felt like was a little self-care vibe. But again, like, not everything's winning today. Like, I don't even talk to Steven during the day anymore. That's how busy I am. And I remember I used to say, like, if you don't talk to your partner during the day, it's a red flag. I think a lot of those things change when you add all these different factors into your marriage. And that leads me to my first topic, which is compromising in marriage. Marriage is one big ass compromise. It really is. And if you don't realize that, then you're not ready to get married. And I would say my biggest compromises in marriage are really small things, right? It's like putting down your phone when they're telling you a story of their work day, right? It's like assuming a role in your marriage. So for example, and I think it's different for every couple. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if more women did this than men in hetero relationships, but like getting gifts for our friends who have babies, let's say, for example, right? That is my role. Tech and car stuff and fighting healthcare bills, that is Stephen's role. Doing things for the house and making sure we have everything, like being the Tom Sandoval of our household. If you get that joke, then you get that joke. And if you don't, then you don't. But that's my role, right? Making sure like we're signed up for a music class for Zachary, or we're paying, you know, so-and-so on time if someone comes over to help with the baby, or like there's a childcare situation. That's my role. So I think those are compromises that you make, and you just, once you make a compromise in a marriage, you're not allowed to have resentment. And that's why it's so hard when you get back together with an ex, right? Because you're like remembering all the things that happened when you were apart, and you don't forget that. And you are like, oh, you know, you bring it back, you regurgitate it, and you throw it in their face. And that is poisonous for a relationship. So I don't know. That was just like kind of a tangent, but don't get back together with your ex. Anyway, so it's all about compromising and figuring out what's important to both of you. Like, for example, Stephen doesn't give a fuck about shopping. He doesn't care. He never wants anything new, you know, but he knows that that's something that's important to me. So he makes the compromise of, you know, getting me some like nice thing on Mother's Day or whatever. Like that's something that makes me happy. In reverse, and you know, he's much more low maintenance than I am, but he likes having certain drinks in the apartment, having certain snacks. So I go out of my way to get him those things. Those are just like nice gestures, and it's, you know, those are really nice gestures, actually. Those are not compromises. You know what's a compromise? Planning dates. And this came up recently. There was a viral TikTok or Instagram reel, and I talked about this on the episode I recorded with my sister this past week. But there was a viral thing, and it said, if you getting proposed to by your boyfriend is the first thing that they've planned, then that's a red flag. And I disagree. I think that I personally love to plan things, and I actually don't love or wouldn't love when Stephen plans things. Obviously, in the beginning of our relationship, that's different. Before we were official, he planned all the dates. That's just like the courtship phase. But after that, I planned everything. And I thought, and I still do to this day, every dinner we go to, like more or less every trip, you know, I work with my friend Fallon, who's a travel agent. She's amazing. Shout out. But I don't, like, I almost don't like, it's not that I don't trust him to plan things, but that's just what I do, right? Like, I like to plan the dates. And it doesn't mean that he isn't happy when we go on the dates because he hasn't planned them. No, quite the opposite. He is like, what do I have this week? What's on my calendar? Do we have dates? Like, is there a date night? And I've planned it. If I wanted him to plan it, I would tell him that, and he would. But that's an example of compromise, is like, I am the one who does that. Another example of compromise is like how you express love with one another, like your love languages. And you could get very lucky and you could express love in the same way. Like, let's say you both love quality time. It's not a compromise to spend quality time with the other person. But if one person is into physical touch and the other person's into quality time, then it's up to that person who is into physical touch to like sacrifice some of their time to spend with their partner doing like one-on-one activities. And often quality time people want that like undivided attention. So that's a compromise if you're not someone who likes to give your undivided attention. If you like to be scrolling on your phone, or if you like to be doing a million things at once, guess what? You can't do that when you're, let's say, traveling and on the phone with your significant other. That's going to really hurt their feelings if you're not giving them your undivided attention. Another compromise area is like family stuff, right? I have Passover coming up, and every year we usually go to my cousins. Well, they're my fake cousins who live on Long Island. And, you know, we try to conquer going to both my cousins for Passover and his family's, Stephen's family's in Westchester. And with a baby in tow, that's just impossible this year. So I compromised and I was like, let's go to your family. And that was something that didn't go unnoticed by Stephen. He was like, oh, are you sure you don't want to go to, you know, our cousin, your cousins? And I was like, no, it's okay. Like, I know we can only, you know, do one thing. Like, I'm making this sacrifice. I'm making this compromise. And it's not like I would be miserable going to his family's. Of course, I love being with his family and going there. But that is a compromise because that's not something that I am used to doing. Another thing is the little things, right? So going back to like, if I'm cooking, he's doing the dishes. That's compromise. If he has a preference on how we want to spend our weekend and I have a preference, then we'll choose one of our preferences or we'll try to, you know, do something that makes everyone happy. Like, for example, we went up to my parents 2 weekends ago and he didn't want to go. Like, not that he has anything wrong with my parents or any issue, but he just didn't want to go away for the weekend. He was really overwhelmed. He thought that it would be stressful bringing all of Zachary's stuff and basically moving. Because when you travel with a baby, like, you're moving your entire whatever you have into a new location, and it's tough. So compromising is absolutely crucial. And it's important to have those open conversations. If one partner feels like they're compromising more than the other, that is not good. And if one person feels like they are just, you know, again, like, it's unfair and that you're not getting your needs met because you are pretending that something isn't important to you and it really is, like, if your core values are being compromised, then that's not good, right? Like, I'm not, like, if your partner's like, I want to hook up with other people or I want an open relationship, that's not you needing to compromise if that's not something that you are comfortable with. Another thing is if you feel like your boundaries are being violated, right? Like, Stephen and I had like some serious conversations when Zachary was born about masks around our kid. And I didn't really care about that much. Of course, I want our baby to be safe, of course, but it wasn't as much of an importance to me as it was to him. And that was a situation, a scenario where I was like, I need to compromise because my, like, if I didn't compromise, then I would be risking his core values, which are, and like his boundaries, which are that he is uncomfortable putting our child in someone's arms if they're not wearing a mask. And so I realized that I needed to be the one to back down in that situation, right? In the reverse, if he had like a bunch of friends over and they were tossing Zachary around and that made me feel uncomfortable, then he would have to compromise and say, hey, like, when there's a group of you here, like, it's better for you to kind of just like observe instead of just pass him person to person, whatever it is, right? You have to figure out what you're comfortable with. But ultimately, compromise is important. And it's all about having mutual respect for one another and doing something for the betterment of the partnership. That's why you're compromising, because you'd rather be happy than right. And you have to ask yourself before a compromise, is this really worth the fight, or is this part of compromise in my marriage? And that's important. And also, like, compromise has a lot to do with money. Like, if you guys are making joint decisions with a joint bank account, it has to be beneficial to both of you. It has to be a smart investment. It has to be, you know, like, all of that stuff. And I think once you're married, it can be hard to realize that everything is like shared in a way, right? It's not just your money anymore if you share a bank account, right? It's not just your health if you decide you don't want to go get a physical. Well, guess what? It's affecting both of you because that's your family. It's not just about you anymore. And especially when you put a kid into the mix, you really have to look out for yourself. Like, even little things. This is, I know I keep saying little things and then giving in, but just hear me out. Like, the other day we were in an Uber and Stephen didn't put his seatbelt on. And I was like, you need to put your seatbelt on. And he was like, who cares? Like, we'll be there in 5 blocks. And I was like, what do you mean? It's a huge fucking deal. And like, I know that's dramatic of me, but I don't think it's like, no one's above safety, right? Like, and I feel like I've ranted about this on Instagram before, but it's like, this is a perfect example of a compromise. Like, put your seatbelt on because I want you to be alive if God forbid something happened to this car right now. It's really important that you are alive, that you can continue to be my husband and continue to be the father of our child. Put your seatbelt on. And like a real, like a good partner will be like, you're right, I'm putting my seatbelt on, you know? So compromise, but don't compromise your values when in a marriage. As I spoke about in this episode, it is so important to be on the dating apps, and not just any dating app, but the best dating app. Hinge is the dating app designed to be deleted. Why? Hinge gives you a sense of someone's personality, and it lets you share your own. You get to know potential dates through their unique answers to prompts, plus you get a sense of someone's dating intentions and what they're looking for. Every time I do a dating consultation with someone, I ask them what dating app they want to focus on, and they always say Hinge because it is literally the best dating app for when you are dating intentionally and for when you want to find someone who is potentially the one. One of my favorite prompts to tell people to use on Hinge is the "Together We Could," because you can write something that's really unique to you. Like the person that I just worked with, we wrote, "Together we could wander around different cities." And that's how we like get to know different neighborhoods and those cities. You know, that was obviously written better. It was more concise. But the point is that it was showcasing their personality and how when they travel, they don't like to have a set itinerary, but they more so like to wander and find things on their own. When my friend met her husband on Hinge, what really stood out about his profile was that he wasn't trying too hard. He was being just genuine and authentic, and he didn't have a bunch of selfies or pictures of him shirtless at the gym. So, and now they're married. So you just never know, and always make sure to give the interesting guy with a little bit of a boring profile a chance. On Hinge, there are no rules, timers, or games. If you're feeling inspired, give Hinge a try. Download Hinge today and find someone worth deleting the app for. Okay, now the next subject that we're going to get into is navigating breakups in your 30s. So this one was the most popular, the most voted for. And I get it, right? Especially, I feel like a lot of people who find my podcast find it because they found themselves in a breakup and maybe someone recommended it for that reason. I didn't have a breakup in my 30s, but I had one at 29, so pretty close. And I will just say, it is so much harder to pull the plug on a relationship that you know is not working for you as you get older. And I know that's, you know, controversial to say, and some people are like, that's not true, and some people always know their worth, and that, yeah, you can know your worth. But when you are surrounded with marriage and babies, and when your friends literally only hang out as couples on double dates and things like that, it can be really intimidating to let go of a relationship that isn't serving you. Also, something that I experienced in my past relationship was every time I was like, you know, this isn't working, that isn't working, I felt like everyone was not gaslighting me, but saying like, oh, it's not so bad, or I fight with my partner all the time and things like that, because they're like stuck in it. So they almost like want you to be stuck in it too, if that makes any sense. So you really have to advocate for yourself when you are considering a breakup in your late 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, because you are the only one who's going to be your own cheerleader. And you know if it's not working for you. And there are people out there, it's just true, who are going to convince you to stay or be like, you know, this, this, and that. And maybe it's for self-serving purposes. Like maybe they don't want you being single and sad on their couch. And it's just easier for them if you're partnered off and whatever it is. So you have to listen to your inner voice and your gut and what it's telling you to do, because that is so important. And, you know, just in terms of navigating the breakup, it's also really important. And I, you know, have perspective on this because I just spoke with a girlfriend of mine who just broke up with her boyfriend. She's 35. And I was like, give me some insight to kind of what is in your mind right now, what you're going through, what has helped you navigate through this time. And she said, surrounding myself with both single and coupled people is really good for fresh perspectives. So not to only hang out with like single girls now, because that, first of all, could potentially leave you with a scarcity mindset. If you're around other people who really want to meet someone so badly and like everyone wants it so badly, then that could be dangerous, because then not only could it be a potentially like competitive vibe and you don't want that, but it could be people who are bringing negative energy into your space. And I found that when I was newly single at 29, the best thing that I could do was to go out on dates and be independent. Instead of like going to the bar to hang around with my single friends, hoping to be hit on, that just felt sad to me. And I'm not saying if you do that, that it's sad. It's not. And I'm not saying that you're any less than for being single, by the way. Like sometimes things just don't work out. And it's so much better. And yeah, it's really hard to have a breakup in your 30s, but it's so much better than a lifetime with the wrong person. Another thing that makes you feel better about being single in your 30s is how many couples are like now getting divorced, because it makes you feel better about the fact that like not everyone is coupled up forever. Like sometimes people break up from marriages that you attended in your 20s that you thought were a forever situation. So especially, you know, when you break up later and older and things like that, it can feel like a divorce, because it's like these precious years of your life and you feel like, oh my God, what a waste. And that's not the case. And it could be much worse. Not saying that it's so bad if you get divorced or whatever, but at least you didn't get to that point, you know? And so I think all of that is very real. And just in terms of like how to move forward and how to meet people, I do dating consultations with women in their 30s all the time and men in their 30s too. And what is really important is that you are not only putting yourself out there on the dating apps, but that you're also putting yourself out there in person. Because, you know, I literally just did a consultation today and I was telling her, she was like, how do I meet someone in person? And I was like, well, you have to also be on the dating apps. Like you might be on the dating apps, but then, you know, she teaches yoga. I was like, but then like the guy of your dreams can come into your yoga class and ask you out. But you can only be open to that energy if you're like, if you're doing all the things in order to receive that energy. And that means like being on the apps, being open, you know, like if you really want to meet someone in person, I really believe that you can't be closed off to like however else you could meet them. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's really just about like putting, like getting the energy that you can put out and vice versa. Like you cannot close yourself off to how you're going to meet. And also like dinner parties is a huge thing. If you're not going to dinner parties, you need to make different friends who are having dinner parties, because those dinner parties are really essential. And then another thing, and I said this to her today, it's like going to women's events, women's networking events. Like I love to set people up that I know. And when I go to a networking event for women, I'm always looking for girls to set up with my guy friends who are still single. And so you might be going to this event that's all women and thinking, how am I going to meet a guy at this event? But you never know who's watching, who's listening. So have those conversations with people, and you never know who's in their lives who they want to set you up with. The last thing I'll say about navigating breakups in your 30s is it's so important to think about all the fun adventures that you can still go on. Like there are so many things that I would love to do right now that I'm not going to be able to do. And I don't know when the next time I'm going to be able to do that. Am I so grateful to have a baby and, you know, to have met my husband? Of course. But my life looks very different than the life of a newly single person in their 30s. And if that were me and I, you know, liked my job and I felt financially comfortable, like I would be living my goddamn life. I'd be planning that trip to Italy this summer. I would be, you know, going on that girls trip. And by the way, just because all of or most of your friends are taken, if you're newly single in your 30s, doesn't mean that they wouldn't be open to that girls trip or that adventure that you have in mind, right? You don't only have to hang out with your single friends now that you're single. I personally would love to have like an excuse to go on a girls trip or a bachelorette or something like that. You know, I still have my girls dinners all the time and it's so nice. And, you know, if we have a single friend join us for girls dinner, we're not like upset. It's not like we're talking about things that are only having to do with kids and marriage. There's endless things that come up. I mean, like Summer House and Vanderpump Rules. But, you know, jokes aside, it's definitely not the end of the world if you are navigating a breakup in your 30s, and you will be fine. And the last thing I'll say is you really have to love your life today, independent of if you met someone tomorrow. You really do, because this is your life and the person that you're going to meet should be additive, should be in addition to what you have now. It's not going to be someone that completes you. You are looking for someone to add to your life, to fit into your life, because your life is full and your life is amazing. And the last thing that I'm going to speak on is how to grow from big fights in a relationship. Big fights are important because they should bring you closer to your person at the other side. But having said that, they should not be frequent. There is a fight, I will be vulnerable with you. There's a fight that Stephen and I have had that has recurred in, is it reoccurred or recurred? Unclear. You can tell me in the DMs. But it is a reoccurring fight since we became parents. And it is really the fight of him having a thought about something he's nervous about, as like, you know, he's a little bit of a nervous parent, and me, what's the word? Kind of dismissing his thought or dismissing his concern as ridiculous, which by the way, some of them are ridiculous. And then some of them are legitimate, right? And part of why I dismiss his concerns, and I've talked about this with my therapist, so I know enough to tell you, is because he did this when we were like in early days of parenting, and it felt like he was questioning my my motherhood skills, almost like my skills as a mother. And even though that wasn't what he was doing, that's how it felt. So now when he brings up a concern, even if it's legitimate, it takes me back to a time when he was like, should you be holding him like that? And triggers me and like starts to get me upset again. So that is, I wouldn't say a big fight, but that's a reoccurring fight. And it's like, how do we grow from that? Well, both Stephen and myself have to make a concerted effort to not get stuck in the spiral of the same fight over and over again. And so instead of having, like, once he brings up a concern, instead of me dismissing it immediately and being like, okay, here's your anxiety again, like you're about to unload or whatever I say, and instead of him saying like, we need to be better at making sure the car seat's safe, he will say, I was having a thought and blah, blah, blah. So instead of like a we, which feels like an attack, he'll say like an I, and I will hear his concern and listen to it very thoughtfully and think about if it feels like, yeah, that makes sense. We should check that out and try to remove myself from being personally attacked by something that isn't an attack on me, but more so just a concern that he has for Zachary, right? So it's like we are tweaking our own reactions to each other to make a more cohesive partnership, right? So if you're having a big fight or a reoccurring fight, it's so important to, after you have that, make changes in order to not have that fight again. Another way is like, how are you making up with this person after a fight? What is your after fight care with your partner? Sometimes it can be really, really helpful to give them a hug, like just straight up hug your partner, because more times than not, the other person just wants to feel loved, just wants to feel heard. So again, Steve and I are not perfect, but if we have a fight, like the one I just mentioned, before bed, it's important that one of us go over to the other one and give a sweet, loving hug. It's just something that makes both of us feel better. And afterwards, we feel closer. If you are having these big fights in your relationship and then not, and like after one of you like storms out, or you need your space and can't be around the other person, or it makes you, you know, detest them and you start to make a list of the things that are pissing you off about them, or doing anything that's measured or like tallying things up or holding on to these resentments, then that's not good at all, right? That's not growing from big fights. Fights are supposed to test you, right? They are. That's part of, like, if you don't have fights in a relationship, you're not growing and you're not changing. If you have real stuff in your relationship, and real stuff is different for everyone, right? Real stuff to someone could be planning a wedding. Real stuff to someone else could be navigating your annoying, you know, sister together. Real stuff could be finding a new apartment that suits both of your requirements. Whatever it is, moving, fertility journey, whatever brings upon your fight, it's so important to use that as a way to like get deeper with your partner and have a conversation that you might have been avoiding. So I'm trying to think of another example of a fight, right? Let's say that you have a fight over one of your male partner's girlfriends that you feel like is a little too close to them and it makes you uncomfortable. And you have a big fight because you're like, I don't think you should be friends with her. And he's like, I don't think that's fair. Like, there's nothing wrong with our friendship. If you feel uncomfortable, it's your insecurity, whatever. This is your time, both of you, right? To be vulnerable. This is your time to really step into your vulnerability and using the power of your vulnerability, not the weakness of your vulnerability, to be like, you know what? I'm saying this because it doesn't make me feel respected as your significant other. And use logic and reason, right? Be like, if it were reverse and I had a guy friend who was really hanging around and making you feel uncomfortable, it would really mean a lot to me and, you know, probably to you if I prioritized our relationship over that friendship. Because it would show you that moving forward, that is my priority, not this friendship. And granted, like, that is a very niche situation. And I'm not saying everyone needs to give up their friends for their partner, not at all. But it's more about how are we resolving, and are we being vulnerable, and are we being real, and are we saying I statements about our feelings? When you speak to your friend Rachel, it makes me sad and feel like you are more comfortable confiding in her than me, right? And then a real partner who cares about you will respond very sweetly and understanding and be like, I wasn't thinking about how my friendship with Rachel affects you. I was thinking that you were coming from a place of wanting to control who I talk to, not a place of not feeling prioritized. And that's a whole different ballgame, right? So those fighting moments are perfect moments to step into your vulnerability and really use it to your advantage. Not in like an evil mastermind way, but truly saying how you feel and what triggered you or made you feel insecure. Because if you can't do it in that moment, that is a moment to do it. Like, I'm not that big on just like blurting out insecurities in a relationship. I don't think that is there's a point to that. I think when you are having a fight and something that you are feeling or thinking could be based on an insecurity, that is the time to bring it up, because that is the power of that insecurity, the power of being vulnerable of that insecurity. It's not just like random coming out of nowhere. So those are my thoughts on those three subjects. The last subject that didn't get as many votes was the transition into parenthood, like individually and in a relationship. And I'll spend like a few minutes on that because it wasn't as popular. And I talked about it on the last episode a little bit, but the transition is crazy. I mean, individually, I feel like my life is, see, that's because I have to go to a birthday now. My life is so much more important, and not like self-important, like, oh my God, my existence is amazing, but more like me, like taking care of myself and making sure I'm here for a long time is important because I am a mother to this baby. And it's like, you have to think about how you treat yourself and how you act and the choices that you make day to day. It's like, it doesn't just affect you. And it goes back to the seatbelt thing. It's like, it affects three people, you and your son and your husband, right? It's not just you anymore. So I think that's a big transition. And my relationship, I mean, it definitely has a different, like a new layer to it now, because we're talking about Zachary a lot. Before having Zachary, like, we both really, really cared about each other. And that was something we had in common. Now we both really, really care about each other. And we really care about this one human together. So it's like that meme where like you're all pointing to each other. It's like, I really care about you and I really care about Zachary. Zachary cares about you. You care about Zachary. I care. You know, it's like the three of us kind of, and obviously Zachary is like a newborn, but like just navigating, making sure that Stephen feels cared for, him making sure that I feel cared for, and us both caring for Zachary. It's actually really funny. Like when Stephen comes home now, because he works in his office, not at home. And, you know, if I'm home and working from home and he comes home and I'm here, it's like, I don't know if he goes to me or goes to Zachary first, like sometimes to Zachary, sometimes to me, but it's like, just literally, that's a perfect symbolism of like the way that we're navigating it. It's like, what should be first? What should happen this way? You know, when you're first time parents, like you are figuring it out and you have no idea what you're doing and you're very malleable and you're very like gullible to what people tell you, right? Like you just pick up, like, so someone's like, oh, you need to buy this like sleep sack. And you're just like, okay, you know, and people take advantage of first time parents for that exact reason. But it's important to be on the same page as your partner. So that's something that we feel like we're getting good at, is being on the same page and, you know, navigating this journey together. And I'm looking forward to talking a little bit more about that journey on future solo episodes. And I think we'll also do some episodes with, I have like, May is Mental Health Month, and I'm going to talk to, I think she's like a motherhood counselor / therapist. I'm talking to her tomorrow as like a pre-call, so I'll know more then. But things like that can be really helpful for people who are in a similar space to me right now. I think we'll do like one of those episodes every 5 or 6 weeks. And you can listen to it if you want, if you're not a mom yet, or, you know, even if you're not considering having kids, it might still be really helpful to see how the moms in your life navigate. So I hope that that's helpful. And I, as always, am so grateful that you listen to the solo episodes. And if you liked this episode, feel free to share it with a friend. Feel free to write a review. And oh, as I said in a few episodes back, if you don't write a review, it's actually really mean to Zachary, because you are stopping him from his future, which is being supported by his mommy. So don't be mean to my son and write a review, please. Thank you so much.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.